Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Although the primary focus of a playdate is on young kids, it is a date, and as such, there are some unwritten rules which need to be followed. Some of these are obvious, but others have mom and dads perplexed and puzzled. I'm Christine Gallione, playdate expert from The Parent Connection, and today we're talking about playdate etiquette. This is Parent Savers, episode 97.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Parent Savers. We're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents from the newborn years through kindergarten. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners who join us week in and week out, and thanks also to those of you who are listening for the first time. As you may know, you can join our Parent Savers Club and receive access to special bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts from time to time. And if you haven't already, please make sure to download the free Parent Savers app available in the Android and iTunes marketplace, and you'll automatically have access to all the great parenting advice and conversation we have on Parent Savers every week as soon as the new episode is released every Wednesday-ish, usually Wednesday. It'll go right to your phone, so it's great, or whatever device you listen to that podcast on. Today's topic is playdate etiquette. Before we jump into it, let's introduce everyone in the room. We have a couple panelists and, of course, producer Aaron with us. As you guys know, my name's Johnner, or maybe you don't know. It's your first time listening. I have three boys, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And playdates were a huge part of, you know, of our lives for a while. And now it's kind of funny. I was just talking that, in a sense, our 2-year-old's playdates are with his brothers now, and we haven't kind of gone through it as much. But definitely with the first two, we went through a lot of playdates.
Hi, my name is Heather. I'm 27, and I work for an online high school. I have one son, Lucas, who is only 8.5 months old, so we don't have a whole lot of play dates yet, or what we do are really mom dates where the kids just happen to be there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll move into more, you know, the kids playing
There's etiquette around that,
yeah.
For sure.
Hi, I'm Emily Nguyen. I also have three boys.
Nice.
One who just turned 8, one who's 5, and one who's almost 2.
We're about the same.
You guys
boat.
Should get together for some play dates.
Yeah, it'll be a hurricane.
And I'm Erin Esteves, OG Mamacita, officially geriatric. And I have one boy who's 2.5. And he doesn't really play with other kids yet, so.
But he is a hurricane in himself.
He is a tornado.
That's right. And Christine, how about you?
I have two girls, a 3-year-old and a 16-month-old.
Nice.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question from one of our listeners. Hattie from New Mexico asks us, "Hi, I'm a first-time mom with a 1-week-old newborn. Is it possible for an infant this young to develop diaper rash? Even if I use ointment with every change to prevent diaper rash, what should I do if my daughter continues to get diaper rash?"
Hello, Hattie. This is Dr. Tara Zandvliet. Yes, it is definitely possible for your newborn to have a diaper rash in the first week. It's often the time to get the most diaper rashes. Their newborn skin is super sensitive, and everything from the diaper, the cream, the wipes, and even their own urine can irritate the skin to the point of seeming like a burn. As they get older, their skin becomes much less sensitive, and diaper rash happens less often. So keep the skin clean and dry, change the diaper often, and don't rub a lot with those wipes. It's hard with the thick black meconium at the beginning, but by now it should be easy to gently wipe off the stool. Consider using just a soft cloth with water instead of a wipe, or use hypoallergenic wipes with aloe. You can use aloe creams, zinc creams like Desitin or vitamin creams like AMD, they all help as a barrier between the wetness and the skin. If you use a zinc cream, use the original ones, not the creamies. One favorite where I trained was called Happy Heiny, which was a mixture of a zinc cream, an antifungal woman's vaginal cream like Monistat, and Cortade anti-itch cream, which was hydrocortisone 1%, and it was the ointment, not the cream. And we mixed that up in equal parts and put it on at each diaper change, and it worked like a charm. If you continue having problems, then consider changing the diaper brand, even if they're cloth. I hope that helps.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Let's jump right into the topic. So we kind of touched on it with Heather at 8.5 months old. She hasn't really started. But when do a lot of parents start having play dates?
We see most of our requests coming in kind of two different stages. The first is about the 4 to 6 week period where the moms are now kind of comfortable or getting comfortable in their role as mom but want to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And so they want other moms who are going through a shared experience. And those really are, like you touched upon, mommy dates, and the kids just happen to come along.
And so even as young as a month or 2 months old, moms are meeting up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're going for walks. They're meeting at someone's house. It's mommy time.
Yeah.
And the kids just kind of either lay on the floor or we see a lot of moms with strollers just going out for a walk.
Right.
And so that's when they're that young, it's a mommy date. And the next kind of time we see a lot of requests coming in is when the kids get into that 2 to 3 year old age range, when they're actually starting to somewhat acknowledge other kids and want to play with other kids.
Right.
And very recently we've seen a little bit of requests coming in from expecting moms who want kind of a core group of support and friends prior to the baby being born. So they're looking for women who are kind of in the same stage of their pregnancy to share that experience with. So that's, we're starting to see that within the last couple of months, actually.
It is so nice to meet people that are kind of going through the same things you kind of at the same time. Emily says she has 3 boys that are almost the same age, so it'd be fun to compare notes and talk. It's great to connect with other people that are going through what it is. So it's interesting the expecting moms are doing it.
I think one of the things that draws so many mamas in our culture to trying to find a play group is that we don't have in place in our culture what many other cultures do, which is the big extended family, the support network that is there through the pregnancy and the birth and the shortly after, in the newborn stage. And so I think
that's exactly what I was going to hit on, too, in that we don't have that kind of extended community in our living area, close knit to us.
Right.
So we have to consciously reach out.
Yeah. So did you guys have play dates growing up? Because I don't feel like I did.
It was open the back door and
right.
go
right.
kind of thing.
Down the street.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I had play dates with whatever my parents were doing.
Yeah.
Although I am the youngest of 3, so that could factor into it as well. But yeah, I think that it's a pretty recent phenomenon, right?
I think it is, and I think we kind of touched upon it, is we don't have that family community support like our moms had. I know my parents live in Massachusetts and Arizona. I don't have them here. I don't have siblings here. I don't have cousins here. Back when I was growing up, I had siblings. I had cousins. So those were our play dates. You just got together with family. People don't have that as much. So I think, people are looking for that. And now with all the technology we have, it's so much easier to coordinate a group of people. We have cell phones. So if you're running a few minutes late, we can get email. There's just so many more ways to communicate that make play dates and play groups more functional.
Yeah. So organizing play dates, and I know that that's one of your functions with Parent Connection. But how does that work with Parent Connection, or maybe if folks that are listening don't live in San Diego, how are people organizing play dates today? If you don't really know anyone, how can you start meeting people?
There's lots of different things you can do. You can search your local community for an organization like Parent Connection that really coordinates large groups of people. We have about 100 different play groups that vary in location right. and age.
And a lot of cities will have something like that.
They have something similar. Yeah. Meetup.
Meetup.
So check with your, basically social media and see if there are groups for.
And it may not even say play date when the group you're looking for. Like, mm-hmm. I know there's a group out here that we belong to called Family Adventures in Nature. Mm-hmm. And so it is a play date, though. You're getting together with other families and doing these activities.
Yeah. And, the other thing, go to places where families hang out and just start talking to people.
Yeah.
Go to the park and strike up the conversation with the mom who's pushing the kid on the swing
next
to you.
And ask them about her kid.
Yeah. some of it kind of requires you to maybe go out of your comfort zone and start talking to other parents, or strike up a conversation in Starbucks if someone else is in there with a stroller. And so some of it is you really have to kind of go out and look for it if you don't have an organization that does
right.
it. But look for things that your family enjoys doing and then meeting people that way.
I think as parents, we really do want to make connections with others. And so it's interesting. I was going to say that when you posted a question on social media, we got a great response.
It went berserk. People just started writing in like mad, all kinds of questions.
So what are people asking about?
Well, here's one that I think will be nice and short and sweet. And this is from Gina Marsh. Visiting homes with special diets or allergies, should you bring a special allergy-friendly snack, ask, or tell the parent not to bring one?
This is getting into the etiquette and the do's
yes.
and don'ts, which we're going to talk
about.
Yes,
this is the do and don't.
Yeah. Now, if you're the parent of a child who has a food allergy, educate the people in your playgroup or on the playdate about the allergy, especially with peanut allergies being so prevalent. If you have a child who has a peanut allergy, let the other moms know. Just say, hey, would it be okay if you don't bring the peanut butter and jelly sandwich to playdate today, or not bring the crackers? And I would hope if you're the other parents, you would be respectful of that. And this is a life, threatening illness
situation
for this child. And yes, it's not convenient if your kid's favorite thing is peanut butter and jelly, but they'll be fine with a cheese stick or something else. And just be thankful that it's not your child having the life-threatening emergency. So I think in that case, just be grateful if you're the parent that it's not a life-threatening emergency and it's just an inconvenience.
It's a part of life now, is these food allergies. And I think even for young kids, like 3 or 4, it's kind of fun because it kind of tunes them into it. Maybe fun's not the right word, but it's a teaching moment, and they can start kind of learning, and they'll get kind of excited in a weird way about making sure, wait, does it have peanuts in there? Because little Jimmy.
But what about something like, a vegan or gluten-free that's not necessarily life-threatening, but may
I think people
seem,
are totally open to that now.
I think that's San Diego.
Yeah,
I
that's
really
true.
Do.
It's
you know
interesting. What? I was just going to say, this came up for us recently. We had a birthday party for my son, and we had many friends show up who are vegan. And I felt really torn about, he wanted certain things at his party, and I knew that half of our guests weren't going to touch them mm-hmm. if we had them. And so it really was kind of this etiquette question, like, do I need to cater to every single person who's coming? Or do they also know that if you make this choice, because things like being vegan are choice, they're not life-threatening
exactly.
allergies. So I think it depends on the thing, too. I don't know, the preference or allergy in question.
But I feel like if you have a big group of people, and this is, I guess, talking about a pretty big play date or a party, a lot of times you would have a vegetarian option. But then vegan, maybe not.
So I guess it just boils down to communication.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are totally open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what about sizes for play dates? Is it good for like young babies that maybe you see a lot of moms go one-on-one? And then do they get really big when they're 6 months old or year? What kind of sizes are you seeing for play groups and play dates?
It really depends on a couple of factors. One is the space that you're meeting in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a small living room, you're not going to want 20 moms, packing in, and usually about, 6 to 10 people is a good size, and people will then break into smaller groups just either based on shared interest or where they're sitting. But if you're going to a park, it doesn't matter if you have two people or 20 people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is knowing where you're going to be and knowing the size of the group. I know we have a play group right now that there's about 20 people on our roster, but any one given day, about 6 people to right. 10 people can make it. And so, yeah, as the kids get bigger and more social, the groups tend to get larger.
Well, and it, too, if you're meeting inside, there's a lot to consider. There's the moms, there's the kids, there's the diaper bags, there's the strollers, there's the mm-hmm. everybody comes with so much gear that, you know, you might think, oh, it's only 4 people, and all of a sudden the space is filled.
Right. Yeah, totally. All right, so we're all committed to having play dates. Let's take a quick break and talk about some more of the etiquette and the do's and don'ts, which I think will be kind of fun to talk about some of the nuance of play dates.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. Today we're talking about play date etiquette with Christine Gallione. Playdate, we mentioned it in the introduction that this is a date in a lot of times. You maybe are getting together with another mom. Moms are asking, if you are like approaching someone at the park, what's a nice, have you guys done that? Have you approached anyone cold or did you done it online or what do you guys ask? How do you approach other moms?
If we're talking and it comes up or we see our kids kind of playing together, say, oh, it looks like they're having fun. Like, oh, let me give you my number or... Hey, now with cell phone, you just call and you have their number saved.
Does it feel weird? Do you get that
it's
weird?
Like a date.
Do you get that weird flutter like you're asking someone out at all?
Right? Yeah. Or what if she doesn't want to give me her number? That's so awkward.
She gave you a fake number.
And that happens, and it's part of life. I just go up and if I like the conversation we're having, it seems like our kids are getting along.
Yeah.
I have no problem being like, oh, let me give you my number or do you want to give me yours? And I think because most parents are looking for a connection, they're so relieved that, someone's reaching out to them. Right. So,
And they had it together enough that other people thought that they were a good mom. Because I know there's a lot of issues with that, too.
I think it depends on which parks or the area that you frequent, too. Because, like, in downtown, I've tried that several times. And people look at me like, who the heck are you?
Really? That is interesting.
Yeah. So I think it has to do with, like, where you are and the kind of openness or availability of people.
Got it.
You know, when my oldest was a baby also, we ended up forming several play groups that were smaller groups that had formed within classes. Like, we did a music class, and several of the moms really connected, and so we started meeting once a week. Or I have a friend who did a Gymboree class with her daughter, and same thing, like 3 or 4 of the moms really connected. Mm-hmm. And so I think stepping out and trying some of those classes that are in the community, too, a lot of times it's a really natural...
progression.
It's kind of like a self-selecting group. Yeah, they're all looking for some sort of connection.
You already know you have some sort of common interest.
Right.
Yeah, I've made some good friends through like a breastfeeding support group I was going to. And then, after the group, we'd be like, let's go to lunch. And then get lunch, like, let's head over to the park. And all of a sudden, you're on a play date.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so this happened to us. My wife was at a park, and there was another dad there with the kids, and they had just moved to town, and she struck up a conversation. But he was like, hey, do you guys want to get together sometime for a play date? And, then, like, got home and talked about it. We're like, wait, is that weird that, like, a guy just kind of, like, asked you? But that happens, too, right? I mean, we're all...
And I think it's important as more and more dads step up to be either the primary caretaker or much more involved than the previous generations that, those dads want the same, connection that the moms get the benefit of. And if it's truly a play date, it's about the kids.
Right, exactly.
So I think it's important if you get asked from, a member of the opposite sex about going on a play date, discuss it with your spouse and make sure they're comfortable with it. But keep in mind it really is about the kids. And then, maybe picking a place that's more, open and, going to a park.
Public,
right. Yes, as opposed to having a play date at the house and... Yeah. Until maybe you're more comfortable. But
and I think what we did, too, is, like, the whole family's got together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, we have a play group on Sundays where it's a family play group and all the dads come, or they come as often as they can, and you know, it's, they're enjoying having the bonding experience and kind of going through the same things that the moms get to go through. So I think it's if it's handled appropriately, it can be a really great thing.
Yeah. All right. So back to Facebook, Erin.
Okay. So we have some kind of touchy questions. One of the first one is from...
These are the best.
These are the best, I know. Well, this is from Rachel Keller. So two women chimed in on this one. The first was Rachel Keller, and the second was Nikita Rith. Sorry if I butchered that.
Nailed it.
So Rachel asks, I'd like to let my darling daughter negotiate her own way with toy sharing, turn taking, etc., but parents often step in and regulate. What do you think is best? And then Nikita chimed in saying that she thinks that it is important for parents to help regulate.
Yeah, this is something that like we learned right away on playgroups is sharing and how do you approach sharing? Because there's different ways to approach it. And I mean, that's, you know, you talked about 2 and 3 year olds that are ready to play with each other. Until then, they're ready to play with each other's toys, but not necessarily each other. So how do you guys approach sharing?
I think a lot of it is looking at the age of the children and are they developmentally capable of sharing? And some of them, you know, aren't, and it's just about redirecting to a different toy. What's important is, what does regulate look like? Is it the parent going, nope, this is his or hers?
Right.
'Cause that's not really regulating, that's taking over. And I think this is an opportunity to teach the both children involved how to handle real life experiences and situations that they're going to encounter as they get older. So giving them the tools to solve the problem themselves, saying, okay, it seems like we both want this toy. Can you guys come up with a way that you guys can both be happy and put it back on the kids and let them figure it out? 'Cause that's a life skill they're going to need. If we solve the problems for them forever, they'll never leave the house. You know, you're going to be play dates when your kid's 23.
Well, that is the next section of Nikita's question, and that's at like what age is it not appropriate, or when what age is it appropriate to allow the children to self-regulate?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's...
It's so personal.
I think what's important to keep in mind, like you were saying, is developmental capacity for taking perspective and knowing... I mean, being able to get in there and share. I mean, I think we put sharing on 1 and 2 year olds, and it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And I think there's this big move for parents to back off, which I think is what this this mother's asking about, and to let children solve their own problems. You know, I look at my 8 year old and I think, yes, he does have a much larger capacity to do that than my 2 year old. I would never expect my 2 year old to go in and solve their own problems. And what it looks like at 2 or even 5 with my 5 year old is, the bigger, stronger person gets what they want often. That's not children working it out.
No.
That's not, that requires grown-ups coming in and mediating and scaffolding where you put build in the supports, like you said, without solving it for them and allowing room for them to resolve it.
And I
very
think
well said.
Grown-ups need to get on the same page with what it is that they're regulating, because there could be different ways that ground rules are set for sharing, whether it be, you know, oh, if he'd like a turn, or it's at your house, be ready to share the toys, and you've coached your kids to do that. Or, like at our kids' preschool, it's, okay, we know you want a turn. He's going to use it as long as he wants, and when he's done, you can have it. Or setting time limits. And so there's a way that I think parents need to kind of communicate how it goes. And in a way, you have to kind of learn the rules of the house or where you are and figure out what the ground rules are.
And one more quick piece. I know developmentally, this is my area, so I'm always drawn to this, is that one of the things that children have to understand before they can share is they have to understand ownership and have a sense of ownership. And so I know when we have people over to our house, I think it's perfectly legitimate to say, if there's anything you're not up for sharing, that's fine, but we need to put it away first. So it can't be out in this space. But they need to know that they have that ownership. And then they're always much more willing as they get a little bigger to share it.
Yeah. And so I think the prep beforehand, especially if you're hosting a play date, is really important. What about, though... You know, how do you approach the issue where maybe the ground rules are set, but then you see somebody else's kid, like...
You know, like maybe the bigger one taking advantage.
Yeah, or the smaller one. Like, just give your kid a whack or do something that you as a parent would regulate, but you're here with the other parent right there. I mean, you kind of can't say anything, right? Or how do you deal with it?
You know...
It's tough.
For me, I would then talk about it with my child and just kind of talk about, you know, how are you feeling when this happened, you know, and see how they respond and maybe give them the tools to, you know, say, you know, I didn't like it when you took my toy, or I didn't like right. it when you did that. And instead of parenting the other child,
yeah,
I'm going to parent my child and give them the tools to kind of work through the situation right. and maybe they'll handle it.
And maybe the other, and hopefully the other parent will be there.
And the other child, you know, may overhear it or may kind of look at it and go, oh, you know, I didn't get the response I thought. Maybe I'll do it differently next time. And so, you know, I think as parents, it is, you know, our responsibility to teach our children how to handle the situation, not not necessarily teach someone else's child how to handle the situation. You know, that is their job, and we may not like how they do it, but someone might not like how we're doing our job either. So
right.
I think it's important to really focus on your child and giving them the tools to handle the situation. And if the other kid learns from that, or the other parent says, oh, that was really great how you handled that, can we talk about it more? Then now you've opened up this learning experience.
I just find it interesting because I think it's totally cultural, you know, and growing up in Mexico, it was expected and the norm for other people to reprimand, correct, or direct children. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember so many times as a kid myself doing something probably out of turn or a little more rambunctious than I should have been, and a complete stranger looking at me going, you know, no.
Well, right. It's, you know? I mean, it's tough, and it's something that I think people come down very differently
right.
on this issue here, I know, in our community. Mm-hmm. But we just had a birthday party, and, you know, we have a playhouse kind of in the back, and sometimes the kids climb on the roof, or if they're coming over, and because they have fun on the roof. But when there's like a party situation and there's like 20 kids there, we're like, nobody on the roof. And so one of the kids got on the roof, and I saw him do it, and I didn't say anything.
One of your kids?
No, one of my friend's kids, who normally, if it was just our kids playing, you'd be like, oh, whatever, or get off the roof. Like, I didn't say anything. And then I heard him say to his mom, well, Mr. Johnner saw me, and he didn't say anything. And so there's this thing where I think the kids, if they are doing some behavior they know is a little rambunctious in your case, and there's another grown-up around, and they don't say anything, I mean, to them, you're just another authority figure, a grown-up. So I think you can feel out on a playdate situation kind of where that is. And I know a lot of parents that we've been with have said things like, feel free to say whatever you want to my kid, like right. that. But then others, if they don't say it, I think you have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes just having that conversation, like it's a date. If you're on a date with someone, you ask them, how, you know, what are views on different things? You can ask the other person, you know, hey, you know, if this situation occurs, you know, are you okay with me stepping in? Do you want to step in? Do we each take our own? And see how they want to parent and parent as a team, you know, you know, we're talking about it takes a whole village to raise a child, and yet then we're like, oh, but I, you know, I'm afraid to have other villagers. Input,
yeah.
So,
right.
you know, I think having a conversation and finding out how they parent, and then telling them how you parent, and trying to work out something together.
And then maybe it's not going to work out, and you don't have another play date.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that happens, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you... You know, it's always nice if you're invited to someone's house or something. Should you bring a hostess gift on play dates? Is there something?
Oh, good question.
Thanks. Christina would be very proud of me, probably, for asking that. I always bring a 22-ounce of beer.
That's not play date material.
Right. Maybe the wine.
Or really good play date material, though.
Right. I mean, you can offer to, you know, bring a snack or, you know.
But there's no expectation.
I don't think so, especially if it's just a date. Maybe bring, you know, snacks for your own kids and bring a couple extras in case their kids want it. You know, don't just show up expecting them to feed you and,
Here's the best snack in the world, only for you.
Right, so make sure you just have enough to share. But, you know, usually when you're offering to host the play date, you're kind of, at least I think, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make sure I have a few extra snacks. I'm going to make sure I have some extra stuff for people in case they need it, but I wouldn't expect them
to have to bring
it. It's kind of like hosting a birthday party and expecting people to bring their food. Like,
right.
You know, if you're the host...
Unless they're vegan.
Right. but, you know, if you're the host, I think that comes with part of the responsibility of hosting, and then you hope when the other family hosts, they return the same courtesy and, you know, have stuff.
Yeah. Do you see any playdate mistakes the parents make or that people call and you think that it's an awkward question? Or is that an awkward question?
No, I mean, sure. It's if people are too demanding or too rigid, that never goes well, especially when you have a larger group. If you're on a one-on-one play date, you know, there's more flexibility because you're only having to coordinate two schedules. But for when we do a big group thing where we're coordinating six or seven schedules, there has to be some flexibility built in there. And so if someone is too rigid, and then also the other thing I recommend for people to keep out of larger play groups, unless you have a play group that is focused around a specific belief, whether it's religious, political, even things like breastfeeding, keep it on neutral topics, because everyone does it a little bit differently. Right. So unless you're specifically in a group for that topic, don't go in preaching to people, because that just never goes well.
So what do you think, Heather? Are you ready to jump into the play dates?
Well, I think so. It's funny. We have kind of a big change in our family coming up in the next couple months, and I'm going to end up at home with him a lot more, which is great. But I think I'll probably seek it out a lot more because I'm going to be home with him, and I'm sure the first couple weeks will be great, and I'll be like, I got to get out of here. So, you know, at that point, I'll seek it out a lot more. And this is all really good information, good things to keep in mind. And I think your tip about staying off of controversial topics is really good. And even, you know, like you mentioned breastfeeding, I don't think of that as a controversial topic, but it's really personal and it's really, you know, difficult and hard for some people to talk about one way or the other. So, yeah, that's good to remember.
I will say this about that, too. I agree with you guys. And I also think that if you're willing to persist and keep looking and you do float some of those things out there, you also have the opportunity to end up with a much more authentic core group. Does that make sense? So it might feel lonelier at first because you may really have big differences. But I know that once we started talking about those things, I was really able to filter through kind of who was really more like I was as a parent.
And it's kind of what you're looking for.
And it's kind of what you end up finding, yeah. It's like dating, right?
Yeah. And like I said, some people fall away, and that's okay. Yeah, sometimes you don't have a second date. That's
some people eat the garlic, others don't. You know?
That's right. All right, well, I think it was a fun topic to talk about, Playdate. So thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Christine. For more information about Playdate etiquette or more information about any of our panelists, you can visit the episode page on our website. We'll continue the conversation for members of our Parent Savers Club after the show. We're actually going to talk a little bit about some of the lifelong benefits of Playdates. And for those of us who have had them before, like some of the connections that we have been able to make. So we'll talk about that for our members of our Parent Savers Club. For more information on that, you can visit parentsavers.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is Jody with Urban Sitter, a website that connects you to friend-tested sitters. I'm here to help you figure out the right questions to ask when searching for a babysitter. Such as, so I used a sitter. Nobody's dead. Should I use her again? The first time you leave the sitter alone with your kids, make it for a short time. That way, if anyone melts down, including the sitter, it's short-lived. Does the sitter wash the snack plate? Is the plate in the sink, or did she leave it on the ground with ants marching towards it? Are the toys put away, or did she offer to help put them away? Was TV allowed in your household, and was it on when you got home? So if your child can talk, this is great input, but when a child is too small to communicate, you have to look for the details. Is the baby's diaper wet? Although I have to admit, it is sometimes hard to tell if you're not mom. If everything appears to have gone smoothly, go ahead and try it for a bit longer. Don't worry, it's completely normal to check your phone every 2 seconds to see if the sitter called. When my husband and I went out for the first time after our daughter was born, I set my phone right in the middle of the table so I could see if the sitter was gonna call. And we joked with our waiter about how paranoid I was. He even bought us a bottle of wine. What a great way to top off the night. Okay, Parent Savers, it's time to say hello to your old friend Spontaneity. Visit urbansitter.com to find and book babysitters your friends know and love.
That wraps up our Parent Savers for today. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed Their Babies, and Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents. Next week, we'll be talking about homeschooling toddlers. A lot of people think homeschooling doesn't start till school age, but there's actually steps you can take with your toddlers to start that process as well. So that should be a great topic. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents. Thanks so much for listening.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.